And a good Tuesday morning to you, and welcome into the DDC here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It is a Preds game day. We're live here at Patron Platinum Club. Predators and Sharks tonight, 7 o'clock puck drop. Pete Weber, Hal Gill, a.k.a. Skillsy. We'll have your call. I'll have pregame for you at 6. Everything heard right here on these airwaves. Darren McFarland, Derek Mason, Chase McCabe.
Yo, yo.
What? This is the combo we're starting the show with?
People probably like, whoa.
Holy moly.
In the spirit of hockey, you know, the starting line has changed, you know, for
this
game.
Yeah, this is quite the line adjustment.
John Hines is putting out a different lineup this morning.
Hey, but listen, whatever line he put in, it's a winning line.
That's right.
It's a winning line.
That's right.
That's all that
matters.
There you
go.
Get Derek the puck.
Exactly. Just get me the puck, man. The puck master. The puck wizard. Just get me the puck. I'm like Yossi. Just get me the puck.
Oh, you're like Yossi.
Like Yossi. I can give it to y'all. Y'all can give it to me. Whatever.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
Or I can be Duchesne. It don't matter. Or Forsberg.
I think we should be more like, you know, top line. Yeah. Johansson, Duchesne.
Okay.
Forsberg.
All right. So.
Or you could say maybe we got a little bit more grit and sandpaper to us. Maybe we're that third line. Maybe we're Sissons, and Trenin.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
We did the dirty work.
I think that's because he's Janot. He'll be chirping and picking fights.
Oh, yeah.
Scoring goals all at the same time.
Oh, yeah. I like that, man.
You know?
Big ups, man.
So there you go. I think that's maybe what we are.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's how we're starting today off. Yeah. In all seriousness, it's been coming down in buckets for hours.
Man.
There is at least
for the last day and a half.
I was going to say, in my area, in my neck of the woods, there's a lot of flooding. Mm-hmm. My drive in here, there was a lot of standing water. So if you are out and about today, and I don't think it's going to get any better. The last time I checked, even though I don't play a meteorologist on the radio, it's not going to be 85 and sunny with no more rain. Just be careful because it's pretty bad out there.
Oh yeah, it's bad. It was so bad the dog. I let the dogs out this morning.
Who let the dogs out? You did.
Who let the dogs out?
Yes.
Who?
Finally, have an answer after all these years.
Exactly.
Derek, you know what?
We've been waiting for that answer.
That is a dad joke right there. That's something my dad would say.
I know. That is awesome. Thank you.
All the dads are driving there laughing.
They're going,
right now.
That's a good one. Yeah, good one, D-back.
So I let the dogs out.
You put it on a tee, man.
Yeah,
Somebody's got to swing.
Knock it out here.
Somebody's got to step up and swing.
And the dogs were, man, they were like petrified. I was like, this is how bad it was. I was praying that it didn't thunder because the rumbling of the dogs, they get to looking around.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, okay, use the bathroom now while it's calm and then come back
in. Right, because you're in your new house.
Yes, yes.
So you're like, man, don't spray the new house.
Yeah, but you know, my dogs are good. They won't use the bathroom in the house
for nothing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm with you because this morning when Lauren took Maddox to school, mm-hmm. Roman, the male German Shepherd, he was like, it was really loud thunder. Mm-hmm. And so he does not appreciate that.
I'm sure he
does. Even though he's a 100-pound German Shepherd, he's like, yeah, me and thunder are not friends. He doesn't like Oklahoma City. He doesn't like thunder storms.
He doesn't like thunder man.
Sawyer's the same way.
He doesn't like a thunder shirt. No. It doesn't work on him
thunder
either.
Thunder sticks.
He doesn't like. Yeah. I hate thunder sticks.
Yeah.
He hates thunder sticks. Anything associated with thunder, he doesn't like.
Yeah.
But this morning, it was like, okay, it's thundering, and it's pretty aggressive. And I'm like, but he's got a step. There was like another level to him, and I was like, what's going on? Honestly, because last night when I was looking, they were like, they're throwing out that T word, and I was like,
Ooh.
Is he like sense something? Like last night I heard a weather forecast, like something about tornadoes in the next 48. What? So I'm kind of like watching him because he's acting even more different than, okay, it's just thunder. Like, what's going on with him? And then it was like, I'm like, what is that? And then he's like, you know, he like puts his ears down and takes off into the other room. I'm like, oh, snap.
You should have went with him.
What's going on? And so I look outside, and it is hailing big time. So he sensed that. He must have sensed, hey, just so you know, something else besides thunder is coming.
So he alerted you, and then he went, ran.
Yeah, he
and
ran.
Then he ducked and ran.
Well, that was Darren's fault. Darren didn't go.
He didn't even say, follow me. He just said, I'm going to go find a spot.
You got to understand, when he runs, you run, okay?
I know. I learned that now.
Yeah.
That's Sawyer. Except this morning, Sawyer was like, man, he kept going to the door. He's like looking at me like, bro, I got to go pee, man. Like,
I don't care if it is raining.
Like, I get a towel, but yeah. I got to go out.
So I let him out, and I'm like standing there. And then he just turns around and like he does his thing, and then he turns around and he looks at me, and he's just standing in the rain. I'm like, dude. Like, what are you doing?
Hey, see, he loved to run.
Go. Go.
Like, come on. Let's go. And it's because I usually walk out with him.
Oh, so he was like.
He's like, are you coming? If I got to stand in the
rain. Yeah, if I got to get wet, you got to get wet, too.
Why aren't you out here with me?
Did you go? Chase?
No, I didn't.
You're not a good best friend.
Did he go?
He went.
You're not a good best friend,
man. And then he finally decided, okay, I guess I need to get dry. So, came in. But
wow.
Well.
Adventures of Chase and Sawyer.
So what's house 18?
House 18, it's okay. It's the house is beautiful.
That's not a good start. But
there are a few problems, you know, you figure you would have.
This sounds like a college football team. Yeah, you know, team 18, you know, really like what we got here. Yeah. We got a few weak links we got to work through.
Walk in the locker room. Locker room's good. Locker room's
but
good.
But you just started. Like, you're like, it's okay. It's got a few problems. This is a brand new house.
I know. It has a few problems, a few areas we need to
address
very quickly.
Okay.
And you know what? The builder was great. He was there early this morning, and we were going over things, and they're going to have the guys in there and getting it fixed. So, you know, I'm like, man, this might, for the first time, cause me to not move again. I said, Mike. I said, Mike.
Wow. Yeah, I don't believe
it. I said, Mike.
Oh, boy. This is good.
I've known you about close to 10 years now, and I think you've moved 20 times.
Yeah, well, I've moved the average. Since I moved back here in 2010 when I retired, I moved an average – three and a half to four years.
Yeah.
The first few was, you know, because the kids were switching schools, so I wanted to be closer to the school especially when they started driving. But then the last two or three, you know, I was like, man, it was like one of those things, you just don't feel comfortable in the house.
Yeah.
And it's like, ugh, I need to get out of here.
We had our fantasy football draft at your house one time. I feel like that was like six houses.
I was going to say, that was a lot. Yeah, well, I don't even remember what pecking order that house was in.
Yeah, I forgot too. I get to talk about one house and somebody's like, hey, that wasn't the other
that
house.
That room? No, that was
Yeah, you're
for
right.
Us.
You're absolutely right.
That was house 14, all right? House 14 was cool, but we think house 18 is going to be better.
Yeah, this one's all right. It puts me in an area that I want to be in, and everything is kind of close.
So you think this is it? This is the landing spot?
That's the thought going in.
Yeah.
It's the thought process. But you know how that goes.
We'll revisit.
Yeah. I'm trying to find the one as a woman. You're trying to find the one as a house. So that's where we are in our stages of life.
I wanted to say something, I can't say it because I don't want to be Cam Newton.
Wait a minute.
So.
Are you on? Oh, wow. Whoa.
Don't do that.
So I don't want to say nothing.
Don't be Cam Newton.
If you watch the video, was that a podcast?
It was a podcast, yeah.
Okay. If you watch the video, like, those guys are, like, all into every word he's saying. If you notice, they start, like, pulling back.
Like,
and he keeps looking over at them, and they're like,
where is
they're
kind
of like, this. They're hanging on every word. He's like, yeah, Cam, that's awesome. Yeah, oh, yeah, man. Woo. And then he starts going down that road of, you know, a woman's place, and they're like, you could see like them kind of pulling
back. It's like the movie when that person is cheering and they keep going, and all of a sudden they start saying things, then everybody like, whoa.
There's like a slow tire leak. Yes. It's like,
no.
Stop. But they can't stop them. Yeah.
You know how people looking around now. It's like, am I tire leaking?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like that.
And it's like you're waiting for Cam, stop. Please stop.
It's one of those things with him, and I know we'll talk about it later, but you know what he's trying to say, but it's coming out wrong.
Oh, but it was coming out. It's coming out way wrong.
Yes, absolutely. Coming out like, dude, just we know what you mean. Stop.
But
we got you.
It just like turned into Charlie Brown's teacher. It was like a great message, and then it was just like, womp, 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 womp. It's like, whoa, stop it. Stop.
Like you're like, stop.
But
stop.
He went to, I mean, he just kept,
he took it there.
He took it there. Yeah. It's like, if you haven't seen it, you can go find it. It's pretty easy to find. Mm-hmm. And just to me, the reaction of watching the guy, like you have to see the video. Like these dudes are all in to every, they're hanging on every word. Like, yeah, man. It's almost like they're fist bumping. Like everything he says, like
chest
yeah,
bumping.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then he starts saying, you know, that woman that thinks she's, you know, she's this and, you know, she just needs to just be quiet. She needs to learn how to please a man. And I was like,
I think that's the part. That's the part that. You kind of look you're like, okay. I think we need to stop this right now. Or change the subject quickly.
Break?
Yeah.
Should we break? What's the podcast? Should we break anyway? Vincent N. Dixon on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It's a good point, though. Mm-hmm. We do like Thunderstruck by ECDC. He said, wait a minute. What about Thunderstruck? I was like, oh, okay, wait a minute. No, we do like Thunderstruck.
I'm a fan of the Thunderstruck.
So there wasn't every Thunder. Anything associated. Thunderstruck does pass.
Thunderstruck,
it's good.
Okay.
Yeah. That one does work. So thank you, Vincent. That's a good point. We'll come back. We'll talk a little NFL draft. David Poyle at 11:15 today. NFL draft is just around the corner. This Thursday will be 2 weeks out.
Ooh.
So we'll get into all those particulars next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on the DDC, ESPN 102.5, The Game, Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe, Derek Mason. Let's talk a little NFL draft. This Thursday will be 2 weeks out. Titans currently have the 26th pick. Ryan Wilson is with CBS, covers the NFL and the NFL draft for them, and he now joins us. Ryan, how you doing?
I'm hanging in there. How are you guys doing?
Well, we are too. We're hanging in there and we're going to see what the Titans are going to do because John Robinson, while there's been a whole lot of winning and a lot of good on his watch, the draft has not exactly been his strong suit, especially in the first round. And I was looking at your three-round latest mock on CBS, and I went immediately, sorry, no. He really hasn't had luck with offensive linemen in the first round or second round. Tyler Smith from Tulsa. Now, they need an offensive lineman. He makes sense. But I'm just going, oh, gosh. Isaiah Wilson may have been maybe the biggest bust draft pick ever in franchise history. And so far, Dylan Raidens hasn't lived up to anything. He hasn't touched the field. Why do you like Tyler Smith?
Well, it's funny you pose the question that way because I don't love Tyler Smith. I think he's more of a second round pick, and this is more. Right. I think he's a good player, but I don't get you pencil him in day one right away starting vibe for him. I think he could play on the right side. He didn't play there as well. He played left tackle at Tulsa, and I know that the league likes him a little better than I do, and I know some folks in the media have been talking him up, and that was a need in this mock draft. And full disclosure, my bosses, who I think are trying to kill me, they make me do a mock draft every week going back to the first college football season. So in the spirit of variety, I mix it up a little bit here. I've had the Titans taking off-ball linebackers, which Titans fans typically get pretty angry about. Quarterback has been in the conversation a few times just again to mix it up. But Tyler Smith obviously fills a need here, and it's a pretty big need given how many hits Ryan Tannehill took last year. But I would like him more in the second round, whether it's the top of the second round or the middle of the round. We'll see. But I know NFL teams are a little higher on him than I am, and that was my thinking there. So I can't give you a glowing Evan Neal or Ike Kwanu type scouting report. I think he's a good player and has a chance to get better. But I don't love him at pick between picks 20 and 32, for example.
Okay, fair enough. I think a receiver is certainly in their plans at some point, and it could be in the plans in the first round. You know, I see, you know, all the same guys, Dotson, Olave, you know, the other kid, you know, she's probably going to go way too high, Wilson. The kid from USC, all these wide receivers, the kid from Alabama coming off ACL, Burks, Treylon Burks from Arkansas. Which one do you think, if John Robinson was the pull of the trigger at 26 on a wide receiver, and one of those guys were there, what do you think would be the best fit for the Titans in your opinion?
Yeah, so I think Garrett Wilson will probably be gone out of Ohio State. He's electric. He could be a top 10 pick. I think Drake London's going to be gone by that point, the USC player you mentioned, 6'5". Played with Michael Pittman a few years ago. I think he's going to be better than Michael Pittman, who's a really good football player. I think Jameson Williams will be gone, who had the ACL. I think he would be wide receiver one had he not suffered that injury. So I think you're talking about Treylon Burks. You're talking about Chris Olave. Jahan Dotson, to me, is probably more of a second-round guy. He's a little smaller, 5'11". At times you have to scheme him open. He's a big play receiver, no doubt about it, but I don't know if he can come in right away as a one or obviously more likely a two and contribute quickly. I think Treylon Burks ran that 4.55 at the combine, and that actually might be good for teams like the Titans because he'll fall a little bit. He plays faster than that, and he's going up against SEC cornerbacks week in and week out and winning often and then outrunning those guys to the end zone. So in a lot of ways, it reminds me of Juju Smith-Schuster, Deebo Samuel, going back a little bit to Anquan Boldin, guys who weren't burners coming out but who play extremely fast and are physical and almost play like running backs with the ball in their hands. And I think Treylon Burks, even more than Chris Olave, who may be there around the bottom of that round and maybe a target of the Chiefs or the Packers, makes more sense in Tennessee because he fits that mold of a tough playmaker who can take a quick pass and go a long way with it. So if you're going to press me on the wide receiver that I would like to see Tennessee take at the second half of the first round there, I think Treylon Burks makes a lot of sense. So you get a huge vote of confidence for me in Treylon Burks, less so with Tyler Smith.
We're talking with Ryan Wilson. You can catch his mock drafts on CBSSports.com. Now, Ryan, you have Kenny Pickett possibly falling, I think, to the third round to the Titans. Ritter, to the third round to the Titans. With that being said, do you think there will be how many quarterbacks do you think will go in the first round if a guy like him is falling in the third round?
That's the million-dollar question because there's no Trevor Lawrence, there's no Joe Burrow, there's not even Kyler Murray, someone who's a fantastic one-year guy in college who also had another career in baseball who gives you sort of game-changing abilities at the top of the draft. So now you're trying to sell yourself on these players. And I think all these players are probably second-round picks if we're being honest with ourselves. I like Matt Corral more than the others, but it's close. I mean, you throw a dart at the wall and you're going to hit a name and you're probably going to get the same player. So I think there could be three guys feels about right, whatever your order is on Kenny Pickett and Malik Willis and probably Matt Corral. But I'll put the over under 2.5 because teams are really going to have to sell themselves in these quarterbacks. All of them have flaws, whether it's guys who need room to grow like Malik Willis or guys who have potentially hit their ceilings and don't have the arm strength like Kenny Pickett. Matt Corral comes from that RPO offense that doesn't translate. I mean, he'll tell you, Will. Lane Kiffin came from the Raiders and brought a lot of his concepts with him to Ole Miss, and Corral did a good job with it. And then Dez Ritter, who you mentioned, I love everything about Dez Ritter except his lack of accuracy on a consistent basis. He's an incredible leader. His teammates love him. He sort of revitalized that program in Cincinnati, played 50 football games there, won a lot, incredibly athletic, but I just can't get over the struggles with accuracy. And I have to make sure that I'm not selling too short because you don't want to have a situation where you're crushing Josh Allen coming out of Wyoming because he couldn't throw the ball to his receivers. And you have to make sure you check your boxes on that. And I've talked to folks around the league, and the feedback I get is he's best-case second-round pick. That's not the worst thing in the world. Drew Brees is second-round pick. He's pretty good. But I think if we're trying to sell him as a top 15, top 17 pick, that might be stretching a little too far.
Now, do you find this draft a unique one? Because there's no clear cut. And I know we've had other drafts where there wasn't a true clear cut number one pick. But in this draft, I mean, other than probably Hutchinson out of Michigan, that he fluctuates from the first pick to the second or third, why do you believe there's not a clear cut number one? Is it because there's no clear cut number one quarterback?
That's a starting point. Although Jackson, and here's the thing, the Jaguars wish there was a starting quarterback taking, and that way they could get some some draft compensation to trade down. I was talking to someone in that organization at the Senior Bowl, and they were hoping that one of those quarterbacks would bust out and make their lives a little easier. It didn't happen, and they're probably going to stay put. But there is no franchise quarterback. I think you're right. Aiden Hutchinson is my favorite player in this draft class. But the issue is the Jaguars have drafted edge rushers with the first-round pick in two of the last three drafts, Caleb on, Chase on, and Josh Allen. So how many of these guys are you going to take until you figure out that you got to fix the offense as well, particularly the offensive line? So they franchised Cam Robinson, their left tackle. He'll be back. They signed Brandon Scherff, the guard from Washington. So that fixes the offensive line. So that leads you to believe that perhaps they will go again with Aiden Hutchinson, the edge rusher. But you could still take Ike Ekwonu or Evan Neal if you like one of those guys. You can never fix the offensive line enough based on what happened to Trevor Lawrence last year. And I think Doug Peterson understands that. So I think that's in the mix. I think Trevon Walker is also in the mix, the hugely high upside edge rusher, if you want to call him that. He can play three technique as well, 275. Out of Georgia, who just sort of blew up at the combine, played really well last season, but there's so many players in that defense that he at times got lost in the mix, and that's sort of hard to wrap your brain around. So there are three guys that could be going first overall, none of them quarterbacks, and then you sort of wonder how things shake out after that, because they're going to be running edge rushers, offensive linemen. When do we see the first quarterback drafted?
Talking to Ryan Wilson of CBS Sports, talking NFL draft with him. Now, you have a handful of cornerbacks going in the first round, and that's another position that the Titans could potentially look at, maybe not first round, but how deep do you think that position is, and is there one, if John Robinson wanted later on, that would be a good fit?
Yeah, this class is pretty deep at cornerback, if that's what you're looking for, and I think three or four, maybe even five guys sneak into the first round, but there are going to be guys on day two and then guys on day three that can help you right away. Kyler Gordon out of Washington is a player I like a lot on day two, probably early in the second round. Played alongside Trip McDuffie. He's probably going to be a first-round pick. Roger McCreary is another kid I like out of Auburn. He doesn't have the measurables. He doesn't look like Terry Elam. He's not 6'2", 190, and didn't run a 4.3. But he played in the SEC, and he played at a consistently high level each and every week. And at some point, you have to appreciate what these guys do on Saturday and not get too caught up in the fact that he didn't run a 4.3, 5.40. That's another young man I like, Tariq Woolen. Speaking of guys, he ran into the 4.3s out of UTSA. He's a converted wide receiver. He's a day two guy. He is long. He is physical, and he is only going to get better. I don't want to call him a sleeper. We know who he is, but a guy who hasn't played a lot of quarterback, and I think his best days are ahead of him. Now, I mentioned Sauce Gardner's teammate, Kobe Bryant, who got lost in the mix because we spent a lot of time focusing on Sauce and rightly so. Kobe Bryant's a really good football player. He's played a ton of football at Cincinnati and played at a high level. Not the athlete that Sauce Gardner is, but no one is, but again, you could get him on day three, maybe even early day, day two, maybe even early day three if the cards fall right for you.
We already mentioned in the third round you had the Titans taking Ridder from Cincinnati, but I've also seen some tight ends in that round. Is that where if the Titans wanted to go that route, is maybe starting third round, you know, somewhere end of day two going into day three, is that where you might be able to find a tight end?
Yep, that's right, absolutely, because the Titans don't have that second-round pick. I like Jeremy Bryant the best out of this group out of Colorado State, and I feel like he's a second-round guy. But after that, in the third round, guys can start coming off the board. Isaiah Likely out of Coastal Carolina, he played at about 245. He's one of the best blocking tight ends in his class for me, and he blocks and plays much bigger than that 245, and he may have put on some pounds since then. Jeremy Ruckert is another great blocking tight end out of Ohio State who didn't get an opportunity to catch the ball. But he can catch the football. He's a great athlete. He looks the part at 6'5", 253. He did pretty well at the combine. And I think in the opportunities he had in terms of catching the football at Ohio State, he was really impressive. Greg Dulcich is another guy at UCLA. Not quite the blocker as those players that I mentioned. But he can catch the ball for you. And he has some bursts as well. I think he was one of the fastest tight ends, if not the fastest, at the combine. Maybe ran in the low 4.6s, high 4.5s. And those are guys that could be there for you in that round three. And another name I'll mention is Jelani Woods out of UVA, transfer from Oklahoma State, wide receiver. And you have to watch the first half of last season to get a taste for who he is, because he suffered a high ankle sprain in that Wake Forest game. But this guy can play, and he is going to get better. He is a huge target, and he can run after the catch, long strider. And when he's healthy, he's a legit weapon. And you might be able to get him in the fourth round just because of the injuries and the team's not quite getting to see enough of him during the course of the 2021 season.
Ryan, appreciate the time. Good stuff, and we'll do it again soon.
Thank you.
Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports, talking NFL draft. He has a 3-round mock draft that he just released. You can check that out at CBSSports.com. All right, BetMGM, you know they're the king of sports books and my official sports book. They welcome you with a special offer on the National Hockey League, an official sports betting partner of BetMGM. All you have to do is place a $10 moneyline wager on any game, and if either team scores a goal, you'll win $200 in free bets regardless of your bet's outcome. It's that simple. Just use the bonus code 1025GAME200 when you make your first bet. Plus, you'll earn BetMGM rewards points that can be redeemed for online bonuses and converted into comps for rooms, restaurants, and more at over 20 MGM resorts nationwide. I did this a few weeks ago in Vegas. It's easy peasy. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use the code 1025GAME200 to win $200 in free bets if a goal is scored in the game that you wager on. Just visit BetMGM.com for a full list of terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Tennessee only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
This week's Nashville's Best Deal, 312 Pizza Company. Yum, yum, yum. 312 Pizza Company serves the best pizza in town, as well as Chicago-style eats like Chicago dogs, Italian beef sandwiches, and more. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals right now to get half off a $30 gift card at 312 Pizza Company while supplies last. So remember, go check that out. thegamenashville.com/deals. Back here on the DDC, Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe, Derek Mason here. Patron Platinum Club, Predators and Sharks tonight. 5-game homestand beginning this evening. 7 o'clock puck drop, pregame at 6. All right, good stuff there from Ryan Wilson. Derek, I don't know how much you've been able to watch these receivers. If you have, who stands out to you?
The guy that I love is Jameson Williams. He comes from a long line of – you know, great college receivers there at Alabama. And, you know, I like him because he's polished. I don't think an Alabama receiver has come out in the last year that has last 10, 15 years that haven't been polished. These guys come out knowing how to run routes, knowing how to set defenders up, knowing how to read defenses, and it's all because of Nick Saban and his coaching staff. He gets those players ready for the National Football League, so the transition is not as daunting as some other positions. But before the draft, I pegged him as a top 5 pick. That's how good he is. I think he will slowly get back to that, but you know, it may be good for a team that doesn't want to pick a receiver high. They can get him a little bit lower, but still get the production once he gets fully healthy. I think he's going to be an elite receiver once he gets healthy.
I think it's interesting something you just said about how Saban, you know, and the coaching staff prepare receivers. I'd be curious from, you know, you obviously went through that at Michigan State, of how much that's evolved from the time that you played for him when he was at Michigan State earlier in his coaching career to where it is now at Alabama.
I think we benefited, not just myself, but Musin Muhammad, Nigel Carter, you know, obviously myself, Gary Scott, who played a few years in the NFL. When Saban got there, he brought that NFL knowledge. Charlie Baggett, who coached at Michigan State, left and went to the NFL, coached wide receivers with the Green Bay Packers, then came back. Skip Pete, Rodney's Pete brother. So those guys had their stint in the NFL. They came to us. When they came to State, they preached all these little things that other receivers just didn't know about. You know, they were preaching to us in practice. This is what you need to do. This is how you recover. This is how you run a route in the NFL. Get your depth. Don't short your depth in this league, because it's all about timing. So we came out and we were ahead of the game. Now you're starting to see these younger receivers, these receivers that are coming out, because a lot of these coaches have spent time in the NFL, so they know what it's going to take to be successful. Alabama is a prime example, whether it's Julio Jones, Amari Cooper, Waddle, any receiver that has came out and got drafted by an NFL team out of Alabama, those guys have been polished. You don't need to go in and say, hey, listen, we need to teach you how to run a route, teach you how to read defense. These guys know, you know. So I think it's gotten a lot better. I think, you know, back in 97, we were a little bit ahead of the game because of Coach Saban and his attention to detail. And that's saying it lightly. But I'm sure he's the same way now. And it benefits the player, yeah. You know, because he's – listen, you are a draft-eligible player. You know, I want to make sure that you have all the necessary tools that you need to have when you make that next jump.
I just don't think there's any way John Robinson can draft Jameson Williams.
I don't – not with the – yeah.
I mean, look, you know exactly where most people will go immediately.
Oh, of course.
I mean, it'll be instant. And he may end up being a Jeffrey Simmons type pick, where, you know, just once you get through the muddy waters of his rehab and when he's available and 100% and ready to go, which is going to be a while. Remember, this happened in the national championship game. It happened in January. Remember, Jeffrey Simmons tore his in February, and it took him half of a season
exactly
before he started getting better. You started being noticeable. I mean, Jameson Williams is a wide receiver.
Sure.
It's going to take – so, I mean, I don't want to say it's almost like his rookie year will be out of sight, out of mind, or a low bar, but it probably will. As a receiver, for somebody who tore their ACL in January, I don't think you can rely on much his rookie season. And does John Robinson want to listen to that?
No,
does he want to listen to that chatter? I mean, he may not care.
Well,
I also think he does
but...
care. Well, no, he does care because, remember, he cried at the combine. Well, so, okay, he does care.
But here's the reason.
John Robinson's not a robot. He's a human being, and he doesn't want to listen to that chatter that'll go on for a good while, especially after Isaiah Wilson, especially after Caleb Farley, who right now, no clue what he is. And then you're going to go right back to the well again in the first round?
Yeah, but here's the – that's all valid, but here's the bigger reason in my mind why he can't do it, because of a move he's already made this offseason.
Yep.
He traded for Robert Woods.
Thank you.
Who's coming off a torn ACL.
Again,
You have to have – like, he's going to have a receiving core other than A.J. Brown and Nick Westbrook-Akina. So,
because he may very well be there at 26, and it'll be tempting because I believe everything Derek said.
If they had not traded for Robert Woods, I think he does it.
Yeah.
But you can't have – like
you think that was the tipping point?
Right, because you can't have two of your – what would be viewed as your top receivers coming off torn ACLs. Granted, one is
Woods,
in the league and one
– honestly, the Woods should be ready to go, I would think.
Early November. Being ready to go and being comfortable in yourself is two different things.
True.
You can be ready to go. They clear you. You're out there. But then getting comfortable with that knee, being able to do some
true.
Of the things.
And you're getting comfortable with the quarterback.
Exactly.
But think about it. He did it 2 months before Jameson Williams.
Yeah.
That's true.
If it takes him a while, then right there again. So, yes, adding that layer to it as well. Look, it'll be – I'm sure it's something they'll have to talk about. It's something they will talk about. It'll be tempting if he slides to 26 because he could. He could.
Yeah, but.
But you, I just don't think you could do it.
Yeah.
If you're John Robinson.
And I think there's not pressure to do it because this is such a deep receiver class. I mean, there are going to be a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, Olave could be there around that time. Burks could maybe fall.
Oh, he could. He could be there.
You know, he could be there. So you're going to have other options other than Williams because. It's such a deep class. So I don't think the pressure is there that even though he it would be tempting that you have to take it.
We'll continue the discussion on the other side to close out hour number one. Don't forget David Poyle at 11:15 here on the program. But more wide receiver talks because Derek has been watching these guys, and his eyes are pretty darn good to identifying who can make it, who can't. We'll continue that discussion next. ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's April, but it's not April 1st. This is not a joke. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe, and Derek Mason with you on this rainy Tuesday. Don't forget, You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. David Poyle coming up at 11:15. Ben on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, says John Robinson might draft Williams because of the past. Farley, Wilson, Clowney, Dupree, Beasley, Woods, Simmons.
Okay. Now, we know the trend. We see the trend.
Okay, Ben, thanks for depressing everyone.
It's got a starting lineup of interesting.
Exactly. Oh, man.
Gosh.
But I did, like, did he have Isaiah Wilson on there? Like, he
yes.
wasn't hurt.
Yeah, he was just, it just didn't work out.
He was hurt in the head, maybe. But
he was, he
had issues.
Just mentally, he was not. He wasn't there. Like,
something was going on.
I don't even know how you explain that. That dude's never going to, first round pick that's never going to play a down in the league. Like, I mean, and it's not because of injury, right? Yeah. Like, career-ending injury. It's like, how many of those stories are there?
Not many. Not in the first round.
Right.
Yeah, not many.
Not many. Like, is there one that even comes to mind? Like, flame out from jump.
No, not that I can.
Unless they get, well, you can't count a guy being injured, but yeah.
That's what I said. Career-ending, take that away. Is there a flame out from jump?
I don't not think, that I can think
first that. Round pick.
Like, he might – biggest bust of all time is – I mean, Jamarcus Russell is still
he's,
up there.
Yeah. Well, Leaf, Russell – but those guys at least played.
They played. Yeah. They were starters.
Like, this guy has – we have no clue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the – but the our listeners,
I mean, you cannot,
they text in and wow.
Technically, he touched the field for what, two kneel downs?
Yeah. That was it.
Like two snaps?
He on a game registry, he has.
I guess two snaps, three snaps, whatever it was. Like, how many first round picks in NFL history took two or three NFL snaps and that was their career? Mm-hmm. Honestly, but I can't. Like, we all know the bust. I mean, we can spend a whole show on guys that just didn't work out.
Right.
And I heard Charles Robinson. This morning with Robbie and Rex Road. And by the way, Tuesday mornings at 9 o'clock, he's must listen to. He's really, really good. This dude is tuned into everything. Mm-hmm. And he actually brought up, like, he's trying to – and I thought it was a pretty good point. I don't think I really thought about it until he said it because, you know, and he's right because, Derek, mm-hmm. well, Chase, I can throw you in here too because I've watched you grow up, baby bird. As we get older, right, you just – you do things differently.
Oh,
you reflect
absolutely.
Differently. You act differently. Uh-huh. You think differently. And he's like, you know, I wrote so many articles, you know, about bust and this. And he's like, I probably today, as I sit here and I'm older and we all want to be wiser as we get older, he's like, I probably should, you know, these are human beings. Like, can we come up with a better word?
Yeah.
Like, you know. He didn't say this, but I'm thinking about it when I'm listening. Like, maybe we should use disappointment or
guys that just
didn't work out,
didn't make it.
You know, like, bust is, like, so negative. I mean, I get it. It's true. I mean, you were a bust. I mean, you were drafted high. You were paid. I mean, Jamarcus Russell fleeced the Raiders for a lot of money.
He was before they changed the rule.
Nothing. Ryan Leaf fleeced the Chargers for a lot of money. And, you know, did nothing. So, on the other hand, I was like, well, okay, but that comes with the territory. Okay. But anyway, bust is a little bit of a strong word. I don't know what the right word is, but give us an example of somebody who was a first-round pick that had two or three snaps, and they weren't even legitimate snaps.
Yeah,
it would be hard to come up with a scripted play. Yeah,
it would be
hard to come up with a first round that actually experienced what Isaiah did.
Yeah, that doesn't include career ending injury.
Exactly, and this is and I'm sure the NFL is they're great. I would say this in regards to the NFL and the NFLPA, they are probably, well, I would say they are the best in regards to. You know, trying to make sure everything is accessible to players. Now, they had to be reactive, but they were. you know, setting up things for players and post retirement, you know, and everything else while they're playing. But I think there needs to be even an added layer to that when rookies come in, because clearly there was something going on with Isaiah Williams. Wilson, not Williams. Clearly, I was still thinking about
Williams' last
Jameson.
Segment.
I was thinking about
Williams' last segment.
We got to get back
We've
to
moved
that.
On to Wilson. wait till we get to the Vs. We'll save that for Billy.
Billy!
When Billy gets here, we'll talk about all the V players.
So clearly, there was something going on with him that wasn't picked up somehow, some way. So maybe they just needed to add an extra layer to their, you know,
like he just kind of went off the reservation.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe that just needs to be another layer. But they do an excellent job, the NFL, and these GMs and coaches, they do an excellent job at trying to, you know, be proactive in regards to a person's mental health.
And, like, here's the thing with that. Because we're a couple of years removed from that whole thing with Isaiah Wilson. Mm-hmm. If the Titans had just hit home runs the next couple of years on their first round pick, and I'll include this year, then it's still a miss. It's still a big deal, but it's not as big of a deal. But they haven't, because they turn around and they drafted a guy that's hurt, that is played a couple of snaps in the league. You don't know what he's going to be. He had a second round pick that hasn't done anything as of yet. And so therefore,
and lucky for him, he's had some huge second round.
Yeah,
I mean, jackpots.
Now, I mean,
Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown.
Those are the two biggest.
Right. Jackpot.
And a third rounder and Kevin Byard. So, yeah. I mean, he's hit, you know, some pretty big ones on second and third round there. But if he still, like if this year, whoever they take in the first round is just not doing much, it's going to come back
around.
Can
you imagine if the last 2 years their first round picks were home runs?
Oh, offensive line would be a lot better.
Well,
for
I mean,
one.
Just could you imagine
the secondary?
What would it have translated to? I mean, how different would the storyline be?
I think it'd be a lot different. I think people would look at the Titans. Let's just say,
were they playing the Rams in the Super Bowl? Were they? I mean, you know, I
nah,
mean,
but they still
it makes
got
you
the
wonder. Well, but maybe if they, you know, protected him, gave him another extra second or two. No.
I mean, okay.
Just give me a minute. I'm going to keep working on it.
But I mean, think about this.
No?
Like the last.
No.
Caleb Farley comes up with the big pick of his own and takes it to the house. And that wipes out the last.
I think people look at the Titans from a defensive standpoint.
That could happen.
Yeah, that could happen. Yeah, that could have happened. People look at the Titans from this standpoint, from a defensive standpoint, that, and sometimes it can work both ways, that because your front seven is so good, your secondary doesn't have to be top-notch because the passer is not getting enough time to pass, which a lot of passers didn't. When they played the Titans, they were always in the backfield or just getting pressure. What happens when they don't get pressure? That secondary, for whatever people said about their defense, that secondary was the weakest part of their team, period. Other than pass protection.
Well, it's because
they couldn't cover, but because of the front seven, it masked a lot of what was going on. Prime example, Cincinnati. I know we pointed Ryan for, you know, not playing the way he should have, but there's no way in hell that 4th and 15, you should get a first down and everybody knows who they're throwing it to.
Yeah, true. Ben also texted back in and said, oh, and Julio. Ben, we got it, man. We got it. All right? Jeez.
Is that Indy Ben?
So, I don't know. It's so depressing.
He's going to keep on coming up with more.
Like, you just sidetracked us this whole segment. We got it.
The new category of the NFL all-injury team goes to the Tennessee Titans.
That's like Dupree? That's
we
like,
can throw Dupree in there.
Well, he's got there. Dupree on there.
Oh,
it's,
got
like,
Dupree.
It's like the Hall of Fame of injured players. Just like, we got it.
Just need a quarterback.
Now we'll get back on track. We won't read any more Ben texts.
Put Mariota on there anyway.
To begin the second hour. Holy moly.
Mariota, Darrington Evans. There you go.
Gosh. So what's next? Tight ends? What other position are we going? Linebackers?
Kicker.
Okay, we got it. We'll get back into the wide receivers. Remember, David Poyle at 11:15. But Chase, Be a screwball. Talk about a screwball.
I can be a screwball because you got it's my favorite. It's my go-to. When I'm out, I was out this weekend, sang some karaoke with Ricky on Friday night. We had a couple of screwballs. You can have it as a shot. You can have it on the rocks as a drink, however you want to have it. It's not just a shot, and that's the best part about it. Screwball peanut butter whiskey. When it's my time to buy a round, that's what I'm going to. All natural flavored. And you can have it as a peanut butter old fashioned, which is really good, a PB&J shot with a berry liqueur. You can go to screwballwhiskey.com for more recipes. And the reason why I love it so much, it's an original. It's the original peanut butter whiskey. It's made with real whiskey, peanuts, and peanut butter. So when you're out with your friends and you're looking for a great tasting whiskey, order a Screwball peanut butter whiskey, just like me, just like the suit, but make sure you also do like me. Enjoy responsibly. Copyright 2022. Screwball Spirits LLC, San Diego, California. Whiskey with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume.